Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Dear friends, Bible is God's word to humanity, we said. Bible reveals to us God and His plan of salvation. Bible is the manifestation of God's love for humanity and for the world. Today we want to focus our attention on Bible as history of salvation. Bible records the actions of God. God's action in favor of humanity. It is His action that creates history. It is God who is the absolute beginning of everything. It is God who guides the history. In fact, history is His story. The story of His action in favor of humanity. But we know the story presented in the Bible differs considerably from other history books. We cannot use the Bible as a textbook of world history or any history whatsoever, because it is of a particular nature. The history it presents is of a different nature. For example, it speaks about the origins of the world, for which there is no eyewitness. It speaks about the origins of humanity, which is never recorded in any way. It is history interpreted by faith. It speaks about God's action, and that action is being revealed to humanity in various ways, and the response of humanity to this action is also reported in the Bible. Bible is the history of salvation. And this history is made by God. As two basic elements in this history is God's action in favor of humanity and man's response to God's action. God's action is always an action of love, giving life, leading, guiding. And the response of humanity is not always that of love. Humanity fails to respond positively to God's love. So there is an element of rejection, a negative element in this history, and that is the history of sin. So we can say the salvation history is somehow tainted by man's negative response and his sin, his rejection of God's love. But God does not give up the unfaithful humanity. God follows him with his love. And in various ways and various stages, God reveals his love for the humanity. This history of salvation has a beginning, has a center, and has a goal. So we can divide the history as presented in the Bible into three different stages. The first stage can be considered as a stage of preparation, and that is presented in what we call the Old Testament, the time of preparation. It speaks about the beginning, the creation of the world, the creation of humanity, the fall, the spread of evil, the shattering of the harmony that was initially meant to be in humanity, and then God's plan of restoring this harmony through promises, through elections of individuals, demands made to them, commandments given to them, promises given to them, and fulfillment of these promises. So the first stage of this history of salvation can be called the age or the stage of preparation. The Old Testament narrates us how God is preparing to give salvation to the humanity. The second and the central stage of this history of salvation is a stage of fulfillment. And the fulfillment takes place in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is the incarnation of God. The Word of God became man and dwelt amongst us. So tells us the Gospel of John. The incarnation forms the center of history. So the time of Jesus is the center of the time. It is there all the promises of God had been fulfilled. It is there where the history of Israel comes to its climax and culmination. It is there the promise to Abraham has been fulfilled. In you or through your seed, all the generations, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So the blessing of God concentrated in Jesus Christ becomes a reality in the person of Jesus. That is the center of time. The center of time can be so summarized. It comprises the birth, the public ministry, the passion and death and resurrection and exaltation of Jesus Christ. So the center of the time is the fulfillment of time. Fulfillment of the time is in the person of Jesus. Now we have the third stage of this history of salvation. In the third stage, this fulfillment is being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. All the humanity, the whole world has to be told of this God's action, God's unique intervention of God in the history that makes the history of the world. So how God is offering salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, that has to be told to the whole world. That is what we call the evangelization, proclaiming the good news. So the third stage of history can be termed the stage of proclamation. And that can be identified as the time of the church. So first we have the time of Israel, the time of preparation. We have the time of Jesus, the center of time, and the time of the church, that is the time of proclamation. And where is it all leading to? It is leading to a climax, another climax, where the entire history will find its fulfillment, where the creation will achieve what God wanted it to be, where the whole creation will be renewed and God and world will come together. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, tells the visionary John in the book of Apocalypse, chapter 21, verse 1. Heavens coming down to the earth and the earth being transformed, God pitching his tent among humanity, or God becomes the tent in which the entire humanity, the entire world is given rest. So this is the history of salvation as presented in the Bible. From the creation to the new creation, from the beginning of the world to its fulfillment, from the paradise that was once lost to the new paradise that comes down to be established on earth forever. The new heaven, the new Jerusalem that will come down on the earth. So this is the history of salvation presented by the Bible. And the first stage, the stage of preparation, can again be divided into seven different stages. Each of these stages we will take in individually and we'll discuss it. And as we will be studying the Bible in detail, we'll be going into further examination of these stages. What I want to do now is only just give a kind of general picture of this movement of history. The time of preparation divided into seven stages. The first stage of this preparation we call the primeval history. The primeval history is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 11. And the time from the beginning to about 1850 BC. This is a particular type of history. This cannot be called the history in an ordinary sense. There is no eyewitness, there is no written document about it. It cannot be anyway proved This is a different type of history, and we'll discuss the nature of this literature later. It deals with the beginning of everything. It deals with the beginning of the world, the beginning of humanity. It deals with the beginning of sin and suffering and death. It also deals with the beginning of the promise of God. So it's the absolute beginning of everything. That's the primeval history. The second stage of the preparation we call the patriarchal history. And the patriarchal history can be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 12 to 50. Chapters 12 to 50 report the patriarchal history. And the time, the secular calculation, can be said approximately 1850 to 1700 BC. It's around 150 years. And the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons. So their history is presented as the patriarchal history. There, the history of salvation starts. When the primeval history ends, humanity is presented as being shattered, unable to understand, comprehend each other. The Tower of Babel was the culmination of this shattering of harmony. And from this shattered humanity, God calls one particular individual by name, Abraham. And through him and through his family, God is creating the history of salvation. So the second stage, the patriarchal history. And when we end the patriarchal history, we see the people, the children of Jacob, as masters in Egypt. And that's where the second stage ends. The third stage we call Exodus. Exodus is a comprehensive term that comprises Israel's stay in Egypt. The first part of the stay was as masters, and the second part as slaves. And then there is the powerful intervention of God in favor of these oppressed slaves to liberate them from slavery, to bring them to a promised land. So slavery and liberation from slavery, crossing the sea, traveling, journeying through the desert, and coming to the Mount Sinai, at the foot of which they encountered God, and God made a covenant with them. And by this covenant, a group of slaves, are rented, construed into a people. They are called the people of God. You shall be my people, and I shall be your God. That was the essence of the covenant. So the Israelites are formed into the people of God. And then the last stage of this Exodus is again they are wandering towards the promised land. We see the entire history of these Exodus events reported in four books of the Bible: Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the time can be approximately 1700 BC to 1250. So when we come to the end of this period, we see people of Israel encamped in the plains of Moab on the eastern bank of Jordan, preparing themselves to cross over to the promised land, the land of Canaan. So the third stage ends on the borders of the promised land. And the fourth stage is that of conquest and settlement. So the people of Israel cross over the Jordan, take possession of the land that was promised to Abraham and his sons long time ago. Under Joshua's leadership, the people of Israel occupy the land, the time of occupation, conquering by force and God's intervention. And this story can be found in three books. That is Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. The time, approximately 1250 to 1030 BC. That is till the beginning of the monarchy. So during this time of conquest, we see leaders like judges guiding the people, protecting them, fighting for them, defending them from enemies. But they are a people settled but scattered in the promised land. Now we come to the fifth stage. The fifth stage can be called the stage of monarchy, the time of the kings. And the time of the kings can be again divided into three parts. First, we have an undivided kingdom, the entire 12 tribes of Israel constituting one people. And they are being ruled first by Saul, then by David, and finally by Solomon. At the death of Solomon, the kingdom is divided and we have the divided kingdom. And the divided kingdom continues from 931 to 721, approximately 200 years. So the monarchy, undivided kingdom, was approximately 100 years, 1030 to 921. Divided kingdom, 931 to 721. In 721 BC, Assyria invaded Israel and the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom totally vanished from the map of the world. Now there remains the third stage, only Judah alone. That is from 721 to 587, approximately 150 years. So this is the time of monarchy, altogether from 1030 to 587. The story of this monarchy is reported in six books, Samuel 1 and 2, Kings 2 books, 1 and 2, and Chronicles. So each of the three books have two parts, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. So the story of the monarchy ends when Babylon invades Jerusalem. Judah is led captive. Jerusalem is conquered. And the people of Israel or people of Judah are led captive to Babylon. So there starts the sixth stage of this stage of preparation. That is the time of exile. The period of exile is from 587 to 538, approximately 50 years. The history as such is found only briefly in the last book of the Kings, the last chapter of the second book of Kings, and something can be found also in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. People were captives. They lost everything. It's a time of rethinking, time of repentance, time of conversion, and new realization about their role as God's people. The slavery or the captivity, exile, did not last too long, only 50 years. Then there was change in the international level. Babylon was defeated by Persia and Israel was liberated and the captives could come back. Now the seventh and the last stage of preparation we call the post-exilic period. And this is a long period that stretches from 538 BC, when the people of Israel returned from their captivity, to 135 AD, when Jerusalem was finally devastated, destroyed, and the people of Israel were scattered all over the world. And this long period of post-exilic time can again be divided into three stages. The first is the Persian period, BC 538 to 332. When Alexander the Great conquers Persia. So approximately 200 years the Israelites were under Persian rule. Then came the Greek period, 332 to 63 BC. In 63 BC, Pompey the Great, the consul of Rome, defeated and conquered Israel, and Israel came under the Roman Empire, Roman occupation. Finally, we have the Roman period. Roman period that started in 63 BC and continued up to 135 when Israel was totally, so to say, annihilated. They lost their existence as a people and they were scattered. The story of Israel continues, but in a totally different way. During this period of the Roman occupation, Roman time, history came to a fulfillment. It was during the Roman time that Jesus the Messiah was born. And it is during this period that all the promises were fulfilled. Jesus was born when Palestine was under Roman rule. So the story of the last stage can be found in many books. For example, the historical books. The historical books that starts with the book of Ezra and goes on to the second Maccabees. All those historical books report about this post-exilic period. Most of the biblical literature came into existence during this post-exilic period, especially during the Persian time, when the people of Israel had a relative freedom, where they had religious freedom and they were ruled not by kings but by priests. There were not many prophets and no king whatsoever, but the people were guided or ruled by wise men and priests. It is these scribes, wise men, priests who took care to collect their holy traditions and write the books. So it is during this post-exilic period, I said, that most of the biblical books were written or finally took the final shape. And we can see how the kings and prophets were giving way to the priests and scribes. And there is a kind of overemphasis on sectarian attitude, on formalism, on sacrifice, and the formal observance of the law. Well, we will be seeing each of these stages in detail in our coming talks. Now, to sum up what I had been trying to say, the Bible is the book that presents God's action in favor of humanity, and this action makes the story or history. So Bible is the presents the history of salvation. It presents the history of God's love, how God in his great love created the world and humanity, and how he imprinted his face on the human face, and how he is giving himself. On the other hand, we see also the response of humanity, that was of disobedience, lack of faith, rejection of God's love, can be summed up as sin. God's love and man's sin. And this is a confrontation between the two attitudes. God's action and man's response, leading to greater manifestation of God's love and greater manifestation of man's rebellion. And finally, the love of God was totally manifested when God himself became man. And in the Word of God that became flesh in Jesus Christ, we see the supreme manifestation of God. And that manifestation of God's love is to be proclaimed throughout the world. And that is the reason why the Bible is written. That is the reason why we study the Bible, to understand God's love, to read God's love letters for us. That's what we are going to do in studying the Bible. God so loved the world so much that he sent his only son to this world. Now, in the next talks, we'll be focusing on each individual stages of preparation. That from starting from the primeval history to the post-exilic history. So the Bible presents the story of God's love that starts in creation and ends with a new creation. It starts with the paradise and continues with the history outside the paradise and ends when the paradise comes down to heaven. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a heavenly Jerusalem coming down to this earth, the transformation of the world, the transformation of humanity, the annihilation of everything that is evil and negative. That's what the Bible presents us in the history of salvation. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much as to give your only Son as a Redeemer for us. We thank you for this history of salvation into which we are also called to participate. We thank you for the promise that you will bring this history to fulfillment, that you will come down to us and create a new heaven and a new earth, that you will dwell among us and will be always with you. Heavenly Father, enable us to live in such a way that this promise becomes a reality also for us. Open our hearts, enlighten our minds, inflame our hearts with your love. Send your Spirit to understand and to respond to your love through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.